The scripture reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deed of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is not what was spoken throughout the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall all prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Before we listen to God's message to all of us, let us bow our heads and pray for God's blessing. Almighty God, thank you for this day, this Pentecost Sunday, for the coming of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing us together as a community to be in your presence, but also in the presence of one another. And thank you for forgiveness that we received, and also for the blessing of the Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate in just a few minutes. And also, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reading of it. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to hear your word and to reflect upon it. And my prayer is today that your Spirit will powerfully work in our hearts and our minds so that you can truly speak to us and speak into our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I just want to apologize. I'm juggling a few balls today, but hopefully it's not too distracting. In any case, so I'm sure that, you know, in your travels, you've come across a wind farm, right? And I'm always amazed by how tall those towers actually are and how big those blades are. And it's kind of mesmerizing to watch those long arms spin slowly in the wind. You know what I'm talking about? You can picture it. So wind is probably the most promising forms of renewable energy, but it can be notoriously difficult to catch. Because one of the problems is that the best winds don't tend to move at ground level. Instead, they do their blowing 6 miles up in the air. That's where the jet stream is. And at that level, the winds are stronger and they blow more consistently. And at that height, the wind carries up to 100 times more energy. The question, however, is how can humans harness this power that is so high up from the ground? The conventional turbines on towers won't get us even close, because the tallest of those towers are just about 200 meters high. And that's high, but it's not high enough. Well, there's a company with the name of Sky Wind Power. And they've developed a flying generator. It looks like a cross between a kite and a helicopter. And it's got an H-shaped frame with rotors at the end of the 4 points. And it's tethered to the ground by a long cable. And the rotors provide lift. And as they lift the frame, they generate electricity. And this electricity is then transmitted to the ground through aluminum cables. Okay, so I know some of you are kind of like thinking ahead in your minds, and so you're asking yourself, well, what happens if the wind stops blowing? Well, here's the cool part. The dynamos can be used in reverse as electric motors, and if the wind slows down or dies down, the dynamos turn the rotors to keep the generator in the air. And so this idea is definitely a shift in innovation to try and develop wind farms that can capture the power of the jet stream. Because it seems if you want to catch the wind, you have to put yourself where the wind is blowing. Let me say that again. If you want to catch the wind, you have to put yourself where the wind is blowing. And that same principle applies to the church, to all of us who are people who have faith in God, who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Because the question is, can the church catch the wind? Not the jet stream kind of wind, but can we catch the Pentecost rush of a violent wind from God? We can. But if the Christian community is going to tap into the limitless energy of the Holy Spirit wind power, then we will have to position ourselves correctly. Well, that's what the book of Acts in the Bible is all about. It provides us with a kind of a blueprint of building a church that can catch the wind. And by the way, when I talk about the church, what I'm talking about are people of faith. What I'm talking about is you and me. Because the church is more than a location. It is too, but more than just a physical location, we are the church. Doesn't matter where we find ourselves on any particular day, we are the church. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And so I want to share with you today 4 points that we need to put in place as the church, kind of like the 4 points of a flying generator. Or let's call it the 4 corners of the church, the 4 C's of what church is all about. And if we can have these 4 points in the right place, we will be able to feel what Acts 2 verse 2 describes as the rush of a violent wind. And with these 4 C's at the right altitude, we will be able to more effectively capture the energy of the Holy Spirit. And so the first one is community. Because it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. It says they were all there. They were all together. They were all in one place. They were all together gathered in community. They were in the same spot. Because you see, community is critically important for the church, for God's people. It says in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak different languages by the power of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit was giving them. It was because they were together that all of them were filled with the Spirit. The Spirit came to them at this time in this place when they were all together. You see, Pentecost was not an individual experience, okay? It was a communal experience. Well, the pandemic changed many things in our world, and one of them was our ability to meet together in worship in person. But thankfully, with today's technology, even during the height of the pandemic, we were able to stay somewhat connected and be together, even though mostly in a virtual way. But we remained a community. Now, whether there is a pandemic going on or not, it remains your responsibility to stay connected to the body of Christ, to be and remain part of the community. Whether it's by joining worship on Facebook or on our website or by utilizing our church app or by reading the Bible online or by reaching out to one another in a text or a call or an email, community is important, and it's important for you to remain connected to the CCD family. And of course, now that we are again able to meet with one another in person, I want to encourage you not to neglect this wonderful privilege and opportunity that we have to come together in Christ's name, to be the church. I mean, technology is great and it's convenient, but meeting online is really not the same thing as meeting in person and having a fellowship after worship. And even before the pandemic, many have become individualistic in the way that they practice their faith. And so my prayer is that you will join us in person, because we experience a deeper sense of community in each other's presence. But if you're not ready to do that yet, or if you're not living in this surrounding community anymore, then, you know, it's no problem. I mean, join us online. We are grateful for your presence on the web, and we love having you. But the point I'm making is the Spirit of God is experienced in a powerful way when we are together in one place. And that's the ideal environment to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. Not in isolation, but in community. And it's in community that we begin to use the gifts that God wants us to use, the gifts that God gives us. It's in community that we have the opportunity to use our different spiritual gifts for the sake of God's kingdom. The second C or point is communication. It says in verse 4, they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And we read in Acts 2 that there were many Jews from other parts of the world staying in Jerusalem at the time. They were devout pilgrims from all over the world. And they knew that the apostles were Galileans. And Galileans were not famous for their foreign language skills. It was like the riddle that we all know, that I'm going to ask you now. What do you call a person who speaks three languages? Did I hear trilingual? Yes, correct. Now, what do you call a person who speaks two languages? Bilingual. And what do you call a person who speaks one language? American. But in the first century, the punchline would have been Galilean. But on Pentecost, I mean, the apostles were chattering away in all kinds of different languages. And when the Jews from all over the world heard their own mother tongues being spoken, they were like thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on. They kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit of God gave the apostles the gift of communication so that they could tell people about the good news of Jesus in a clear and compelling way. And so we're talking about communication. The question is, what do we communicate and how do we communicate? For instance, do you communicate God's love to people? Or do you help spread the hate of the world? Do you lift people up and encourage them with how you talk to them? Or do you tear them down and judge them? What are the kind of things that you share on your social media platforms? What message do that communicate? And how open are you for the Spirit of God to work in your life and influence what you communicate to others as a representative of Jesus Christ? What do we communicate? And how do we communicate? How can we put this gift to work today by using communication techniques that reach a new generation of potential believers? Well, we're trying different things, right? That's why we had a new logo designed last year to consistently communicate a church identity. That's why we have a church app and a website and a live stream of our worship services. We are utilizing technology and the internet for better communication, because technology is the language of today's generation. That's why we have screens in the sanctuary. Gives us the ability to be more creative and interactive and visual in how we present the good news. That's why we're adding some contemporary music to the music we already have. We're making an effort to speak the language, not just of the past, but also of today's people. Because you see, the message of the gospel can never change. What we communicate, God's love, it can never change. But the methods we use to communicate, in other words, how we communicate, that must change. That must adapt and remain relevant to the times we are living in, not just a century ago. And we must continue to find ways to communicate God's message more effectively and in the language of this generation. So So catching the wind of the Spirit means community, and it means communication. And so here's the third C, or the third point. It is courage. When the apostles started speaking in different languages, some of the Jews asked each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the Lord's followers and said, "They are drunk." They didn't want to hear the message of the Galileans, so they tried to write it off as drunken babbling. And they joked that they were drunk on cheap wine. And that's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Now, you know what it took for Peter to stand up and speak up? It took some guts. It took some courage. Some spirit-powered courage. Remember, this is the same guy who just a few weeks earlier denied Jesus 3 times in a row. The same guy who swore that he didn't even know the Lord Jesus. This time he didn't shy away from conflict. Instead, he stood up with courage. And so what was the difference? The Spirit made the difference and gave him the courage. And so he said to them, "No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Yes, the Holy Spirit shall come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they shall prophesy." That's the courage the wind of God's Spirit provides us when we catch it. So when people, you know, dismiss your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to show a little bit of courage. You don't have to get into a philosophical argument with an agnostic. You don't have to refute, you know, a best-selling book by a new atheist. You just have to describe and tell what God's doing in your life and in your church. You just have to point to what God is doing in our community and in the world. You just point out the God moments that, if you look closely, are really all around us every day. God moments. Like when estranged family members forgive one another and come together, that is a God moment. When an unexpected healing happens, that is a God moment. When adversaries make peace, that is a God moment. When someone gives a card of encouragement to someone who's going through a hard time, that is a God moment. And Peter courageously pointed out a God moment that he saw in the world, and so can we. Community, communication, and courage. And finally, clarity. When Peter spoke to the crowd, he didn't invent a whole new set of holy scriptures. What did he do? He clarified a passage from Joel instead, something that was kind of confusing before, but now made perfect sense. He provided a commentary on this scripture that awakened people to the power of the Holy Spirit and the significance of God's Son, Jesus. And that is what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to make the message of the Bible clear to people. That's how we catch the power of God. That's what Peter did in his sermon to the people of Jerusalem. He was showing them that God's promise to pour out His Spirit was coming true all around them. And that the day was dawning in which everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this was the greatest clarification of all. That anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That the Lord will save everyone who asks for His help. Not just Jews. Gentiles can be saved as well. And not just Jews and Gentiles, but black and white and rich and poor and women and men and Republicans and Democrats and you and me. We can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a surprising twist in the biblical story. And Peter makes clear what God is doing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone shall be forgiven and made right with God. All they have to do is to call Jesus their Lord. And you see, you've been saved because you call Jesus your Lord. And you will be saved when you believe in Jesus and call Him your Lord and God. And for years, people didn't know what the prophet Joel was talking about. But Peter made it clear to them. And he made it clear to all of us as well. So that's the message. The message for us on this Pentecost Sunday. When we are a community that communicates with courage and clarity, we will be in a position to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. We will be able to catch the power of God and put it to work in the world. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank You for the day of Pentecost when Your people were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the community that You formed, Your people that we belong to. Thank You for the ability to be able to communicate to different people and different languages at different times. Thank You for the courage that Your Spirit gives us to be able to confess our faith and tell people about the God moments that we experience. And help us to always be clear about the message of Jesus, that it is not exclusive, but it's inclusive. And that anyone, regardless of where they've been, or where they're from, or who they are, or what they've done, that they will be saved when they call upon Your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior. May You bless this community church with the power of Your Spirit. May You bless each and every one of us to be moved by Your Spirit on a daily basis. God, we pray that You will empower us in the name of Jesus with the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit. Amen.